Casey Matthews of the Philadelphia Eagles doesn't think his brother Clay likes playing inside linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. But does it really matter? We'll find out from one of Matthews' former teammates as we talk to Brady Papinga on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snow, and along with Alex Talich, we're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a game on Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the show today.
Expert interview.
We have former Packers linebacker and current Fox Sports analyst Brady Papinga joining us on the show. Mr. Papinga, how you doing today?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for having me, man. How you doing?
Very good. We're excited to have you on the show. We're going to get to your new book in a few moments, but first, I kind of want to ask you a few questions about the Packers first, if you wouldn't mind. You heard in the introduction to the show, in an interview published this week, Casey Matthews doesn't think his brother likes playing inside linebacker. What was your reaction to seeing Clay Matthews on the inside, and does it matter whether he likes it or not?
Well, I don't know if it matters or not, but I do know that it is not as fun playing an inside linebacker versus an outside backer because you have to play in space, you have to read and react more as an inside linebacker, whereas an outside linebacker, you get a read on the run. So now that means is you get to pin your ears back and just go. Inside linebacker, there's a lot more reading and a lot more of breaking down and diagnosing plays. And then obviously in a passing situation, if you're an inside backer, unless you're blitzing, you're dropping backwards into coverage. But that's just not that's not Clay's best attribute when you talk about all the skills that he brings to the table of moving it backwards. You want him moving forward. You know, and it was funny, too, after the game against the Chicago Bears, everybody, even during the game, as a matter of fact, the crew calling the game thought, wow, the move that Clay made from the outside back to the inside back position, that was the reason behind the improvement in the run defense. And that was not the case, by the way. You can check that out at footballbyfootball.com. I broke it down in a video to where, in fact, the defensive line play, the improved defensive line play, better said, was the reason behind the improved Packer run defense. It wasn't Clay's positional change. And so the point is that I can relate to Clay. I've moved in and out in terms of playing inside and outside linebacker, and outside linebacker is far more fun. But Clay, being the team guy he is, he'll do pretty much what they ask him to do.
I was going to ask you about that. Now, you kind of went through the position change yourself, going from the 4-3 system to the 3-4 when the Packers brought Dom Capers in. What were your feelings at the time? Did you feel like, oh, this is going to change what I do, and I don't like it? But how did you feel?
No, I was fine with it. I was actually hoping always to someday playing that kind of scheme. You know, and that's really the kind of scheme when you look at my skill set, what I came out of college, I was a rush defensive end, a lot like Clay is, and really I was meant to, I think, play in that 34 scheme that Don Capers brought, you know, and at the time the Packers were implementing, like you said, the 4-3 defense. James Bates at the time was the defensive coordinator, so that wasn't really the case, although I was really excited and happy to be drafted by the Packers. But then when Don came into town, I was very excited because I was able to do what I felt was what I was best suited for, and that was just to go and read, like I said, read on the run, not read and react, which playing inside linebacker and playing off the ball as an outside backer, even a middle linebacker, a 4-3 defense, they're very similar. And so that defense of Dom Capers is a defensive player's dream just because he loves to blitz so much and he loves to do it in many unconventional and different ways. But if you're Clay, you would prefer to play the outside over the inside.
Okay, another similar situation here, kind of. You played with your brother Kelly in college at BYU. Have you ever played against him, or can you imagine what Clay is going through facing his brother this week?
Yeah, well, I have an older brother too. His name's Casey, and he and I talk, and I share a chapter about this in my book. The book's called The True Spirit of Competition because my older brother and I had a very, very intense childhood rivalry to the point of where, and whenever we competed, it always ended up in fights as kids. Fast forward to my sophomore year at BYU and my older brother's senior year at Utah State. He was playing tight end. I was playing defensive end, and we faced each other head to head. And it was so intense in terms of the buildup to the game because, again, my family only remembered he and I fighting in these competitive moments that my parents were on pins and needles. They didn't even say anything through the game. That's what my wife told me, that during the game, they didn't even say anything. They were nervous that we were going to get into a fight. And so the funny thing that happened with my mom, who she was interviewed by a local media member about us going head to head, and he asked her, you know, what would you do if they got into a fight on the field? And she said, I would march right down there, stop the game, and in front of all the fans and coaches and players, I'd give them each a spanking. And so it was a fun, exciting experience, to be honest with you. And again, you can read more about how that all turned out in my book, but I've been there before, and I never really had the chance to play against my younger brother except in high school when he was on the scout team, you know. But, yeah, it was a very different experience playing against your older brother, especially in a head-to-head situation like I was. Now, Clay and Casey, they're both defensive players, and maybe if Clay played on special teams, which I doubt he will this game, they'd maybe face head-to-head. But so they're really more indirectly competing, not head-to-head competing like I did with my older brother when I played in college.
We're talking to Brady Papinga, former Packers linebacker and current Fox Sports analyst here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Okay, Mr. Papinga, you thank you for sharing that story, which was very good. But tell us the larger scope of the book here, your autobiography, The True Spirit of Competition. Let our audience know about it.
Yeah, it's a book that details just my life of competition, and it's, like you said, somewhat of an autobiography kind of feel because it starts when I was a kid. And it basically, the overall themes, it talks about that in competitive moments, there's pitfalls and there's benefits. And ultimately, I experienced probably more pitfalls growing up with competition than the benefits just because I had a perspective that was a little off when I looked at competition and competitive situations. But then when I went on my mission, when I went to South America for 2 years, I regained I gained a whole new perspective on competition. That's what I call the true spirit of competition, that adjusted my perspective and ultimately helped me to best take advantage of all the benefits that come from competitive moments, whether it is on the field of competition or off the field of competition. And I detail out stories how competitive moments really pull the best out of us with that right competitive mindset, and that ultimately we all are competitors. It doesn't matter if you're an athlete or not. And that if you can leverage those competitive moments in your life, not only are you going to be able to achieve more, but then you're going to be able to enjoy those competitive moments much, so much more, even if you're, like I said, an athlete or a non-athlete. So check it out. There's a lot of fun stories in there. One of the best chapters in the whole book, in my opinion, well, actually, they're all pretty good. But there's one where I talk about how we, as the 2010 version of the Green Bay Packers, were able to win the Super Bowl. What was the key? And it had to do with the culture of competition. And I go and I detail out how that culture ultimately was built and ultimately how it laid out and it panned out for us to ultimately have the best team in all the world in 2010.
Before we let you go, I wanted to get your thoughts on one more thing here about this upcoming Packers game. It's kind of our preview show here. So the Packers face this up-tempo Eagles offense. What kind of challenges does that represent as a defender out on the field from your experience?
Well, communication is going to have to be extremely succinct and basic. And so usually, and checks, by the way, usually a defense, especially a Dom Capers style of defense, is one to where you have checks to where you're trying to get the defense in the best position versus the formation. And a lot of times that takes time. It takes guys having to rotate and move and things of that nature. And so when you're playing an up-tempo team that's going to essentially line up and snap the ball immediately, that's what you're going to have to do as a defense. So he's going to have to simplify a lot of his calls, which that's why these offenses have had so much success, because these defenses have had to simplify. But this is the thing that Dom does really well, and this is why his scheme has really passed the test of time. And that's because he's been able to make a scheme that's A, simple to the defenders, but it's perceived to be complicated to the offense. So if he can find ways to stay simple in their mind, talking about defensively, but yet make the perception and show the offense that it's a little more complex. Maybe you bring a different rusher. Maybe you change some guys around, but you keep the back end simple, but there's not a lot of adjustments. If there is different unorthodox formations too, that's where the Packers could really cause issues to that Philadelphia Eagles offense, because you got to think in the same breath, if the defense isn't going to have time to adjust, neither is the offense. So Dom, he's going to be tested this week in terms of being able to come up with schematics that are simple, succinct, with limited amount of adjustments, but yet still put off that vibe to the offense that they're complex and they're ultimately unpredictable.
Can we get a prediction? Does your employer allow you to do that?
I am going for the Packers.
All right.
The reason I'm going for the Packers is because I'll tell you this right now, Aaron Rodgers is hot. That offense is hot. And I like the way that defensive line is starting to show some improvement. And I think that's going to be key, because here's the deal. The Philadelphia Eagles, although they're a high-tempo team, I don't know if they're going to want to get into a shootout with Aaron Rodgers, because I don't think they can keep up. So that means they're going to want to control the ball. I mean, believe it or not, these high-tempo offenses control the ball. I don't know if you checked in last night with the Miami Dolphins game. Bill Lazor, former Packer coach Philbin, they used the same offense as the Philadelphia Eagles, and they were having drives that pretty much lasted the whole half of a quarter. And that's what I would think that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to try to do to keep Aaron on the sideline. But because the Packers are playing better against the run, I don't know if the Eagles are going to be able to do that. So I'm going to give the edge to the Green Bay Packers, and I think they're going to continue to roll here against the Philadelphia Eagles, who, by the way, is one of the top teams in the NFC.
Fantastic. Last thing, how can our audience get your book? What's the preferred method of ordering it?
Well, there's two ways. First, if you wanted the immediate method, you just go to Amazon, type in The True Spirit of Competition. You'll find it there. I think it's being sold there for around $13. And then at the first week of December, I'm going to be heading out to the Green Bay area, and we're going to be doing a book signing in a lot of different places. So check your local Twitter feed or Facebook or even just certain publications. You'll see where we're at, and hopefully we can get this into a lot of places that's accessible to everybody. But for right now, just go to Amazon, type in True Spirit of Competition, and you can find my book there and get it.
Fantastic.
Bring back for Christmas presents and things of that nature. So go check me out.
Very cool. We'll direct them to your Twitter feed, which is just your name, Brady Papinga. So we'll follow you there and get those dates. Mr. Papinga, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your insight about the book, about the Packers, about everything. And thanks a lot for your service to the Packers Super Bowl team, XLV.
Appreciate it, and you have a great day. Thanks for having me on, by the way.
Take care. Brady Papinga, former Packers Super Bowl champion, joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. How cool is that? How cool is that? I love having former Packers on the show. And a guy who's still involved with the game, Fox Sports analyst, we talked to him, if you'll remember, here at Cheesehead TV during the Super Bowl. He became the first, he made history by broadcasting the game to a U.S. audience in Spanish for the first time in history. Yeah, so Brady Papinga, fluent in Spanish, did it on Fox Sports Deportes. And currently, I know he does a Saturday college football show. He's still very much heavily invested, I know, into BYU football. His brother, Kelly, is an assistant coach on the BYU football team. So, yeah, if you listen to Fox Sports Radio, you can hear him there on Saturdays. So, very cool. And I'm going to have to go check out that video he was talking about the Packers' run defense. That is really interesting. Have not come across that yet. I'm going to go check that out. But anyway, from here on out on the show,
Packers news of the day.
Yesterday, the news of the day of the past 24 hours, I think yesterday the biggest thing was the news that, you know, Casey Matthews came out and, you know, said, I don't think Clay likes playing inside linebacker. And as we talked about with Brady Papinga, and Clay Matthews had his opportunity to respond to that. And that's what I want to share here. Here are Clay Matthews' comments from inside the locker room yesterday, Thursday, at 1265 Lombardi Avenue. Here's Clay Matthews.
Got some heat from a few of the guys around here about that, but no, there's not much truth to that. I think, you know, anytime there's a position change, as I mentioned last week, there's some hesitation, obviously, with what I was comfortable doing, but, you know, I think anytime you're put in position to make plays like that week, it's not only going to, you know, benefit yourself, but benefit the defense as well. So, you know, yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, I'd love to, you know, line outside 100% of the time, get sacks, but we were able to do that from a different position. So, yeah, I mean, it worked out.
I don't think this is a big deal, or, you know, maybe as big as it's perhaps made out to be here, you know, over the course of the past 24 hours. And the reason why is this, is because Clay Matthews has not made a full-time transition to inside linebacker. At least he hasn't yet, and I don't anticipate that happening. What did happen against the Chicago Bears last week is, you know, he lined up there, I don't know, 50% of the time. I didn't break it down snap by snap, but roughly I'd say. So on those early downs where the Bears were liable to run, that's where Clay Matthews was. And then on passing downs, when it became third and long or thereabouts, there Clay Matthews was lining up on the edge of the defense on the outside, using his speed to put pressure on the quarterback, and got two sacks, albeit one wiped out by penalty. That was rather ridiculous and probably should have stood, in my opinion. But so anyway, I mean, Clay Matthews, we don't really have to worry about this. Does he like it or not? He says he's fine with it. He's being the good soldier and doing what's good for the Packers defense. I personally think he helped in the Packers run defense. By no means was he the only reason the Packers were able to stuff Matt Forte and the Bears last week. But I think it certainly helped in that regard, as well as the defensive line, you know, doing their job as well. But, you know, I expect to see Clay Matthews in the same role this week and for a lot of the rest of the season. I mean, you just can't complain with getting your 11 best players on the field. And with Nick Perry playing improved football this year, and a lot of it just being due to being healthy, I think that, you know, helps the Packers defense out a lot. So, yeah, I expect to see more of it this week with Clay Matthews at inside linebacker, although maybe they'll be throwing teams for a loop now and then and trying to confuse them and maybe not playing Clay so much at the inside after they prepare all week for it. I don't know. I still expect them to play quite a bit regardless. So that was the big news yesterday. Getting to my prediction for this game, what I have here is I've got a Packers victory, and here's why. Yes, the Packers are taking on the 7-2 NFC East leading Philadelphia Eagles, who present a threat on offense from the up-tempo standpoint. Mark Sanchez seems, you know, rejuvenated in the Philadelphia Eagles system there. It's hard to say. Is it just the system? Is it working with Chip Kelly? You know, after spending several moribund years in New York with the Jets, Sanchez has looked good, albeit maybe not perfect. And I think the Packers will be able to force him into turnovers, as he's been liable to make over the years. Maybe not a lot of them, but all they need is just that one big turnover. Force him into a mistake, whether it's a fumble, whether it's an interception or whatever. I think the Packers find a big one. But more so than that, I think it'll be a high-scoring game in which both teams will score points. But I think Aaron Rodgers and the way he's playing right now, he is going to take advantage of a Philadelphia Eagles secondary that is 22nd in the NFL against the pass. And certainly that doesn't fall on the shoulders of just the secondary. I mean, the pass rush is a big part of that too. But I just think that, you know, this Eagles team has given up big yards in the past, and they will do so again on Sunday with Rodgers and his array of weapons that are only becoming better as the season goes along. Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb are starting to be complimented, whether it's, you know, Davante Adams or the three tight ends that all got involved in last week's game, to Eddie Lacy in the screen game, which I very much encourage you to check out the feature article that I wrote on the screen game in Green Bay at the blog at Cheesehead TV. Check it out on the homepage after the show if you have not seen it already. Very proud of that. I think it's unique that the screen game has come full circle in Green Bay from its beginnings of the West Coast offense way out in San Francisco and innovator Bill Walsh to the how it's gone through the line and passed down from coach to player to Green Bay to today, and the Packers making full use of it the past few weeks with Eddie Lacy taking a couple long screen passes for all the way for the distance against the Bears in a 67-yarder the game prior against the Saints. Anyway, I just think Aaron Rodgers, whether it's short little screens or, you know, hitting these guys downfield, it's not going to be bitter cold yet. It's not January yet where temperatures are hovering around zero. I still think they'll be better suited to get this passing game going in high gear on Sunday, and the Packers are going to put points up on the scoreboard. I've got it close. I've got it 31-28, you know, but I just think Aaron Rodgers is going to do one thing better than Mark Sanchez, if not multiple things, and Mark Sanchez is going to turn the ball over at some point in a hostile environment at Lambeau Field. You know, the Packers defense has done a good job of forcing turnovers this year. And of course, Aaron Rodgers does an amazing job, perhaps the best in NFL history, at not giving away the ball, avoiding turnovers. And that is what the difference will be in this game. So that's the way I see it playing out. But it'll be interesting, most definitely, about, you know, just the pace of the Philadelphia Eagles offense and how the Packers are able to respond to that. I mean, because you face no huddle offenses in the NFL, but you know, the Eagles are another beast altogether. They do it faster and better than anybody else in the NFL. It'll be interesting to see how the Packers front seven is able to play tired, you know, if they're not able to make substitutions or anything like that. Will these big defensive linemen like LaTroy Guyon be able to hold up? And Mike Daniels, do they have the conditioning to be out there for plays on end and not get worn down and be able to show that this Packers run defense really is making strides? I mean, because I think to an extent, although the Packers played well in run defense against the Chicago Bears last week, the jury is still out. I mean, you know, you're not going to take one game for the evidence that things have been fixed and things have been turned around. This is a Eagles offense that, you know, LeSean McCoy, even though he's not having the season he did a year ago or, you know, several years ago, you know, he's still dangerous. I wouldn't put anything past LeSean McCoy, and being complimented by a guy like Darren Sproles, who was just named Special Teams Player of the Week in the NFC this week. And I think he's so dangerous, whether it's special teams, whether it's offense. In fact, I think I've seen, if I have this correct, Darren Sproles has been named either Special Teams Player of the Week or Offensive Player of the Week three times this season, which actually ties Aaron Rodgers for the most in the NFL this season, winning a Player of the Week award. And so the Packers special team's really going to have to be, watching out for what's happening there because Sproles is so dangerous. And you know, they give up that long kickoff return for a touchdown last week against the Chicago Bears. They can't afford to let that happen again. There were circumstances there where, you know, Mike McCarthy described in his press conference the Packers had made some changes to the personnel on their kickoff coverage, and maybe that wasn't such a good idea. They kept Casey Hayward out there despite being just, you know, the play after, you know, if you count the extra point, after his interception return for a touchdown, his pick six, and I think he was tired. You know, Packers going to have to be more cognizant. But, I mean, you know, it was a blowout at the time, so maybe they really didn't care all that much. But, you know, they're going to have to care a whole lot more in this game, especially if it's close, you know, coming down to the wire. You can't, even if it's late in the fourth quarter, you're going to have to account for Darren Sproles no matter what. So, John mentions on the live blog, they had to cover, what, 10 kickoffs in that game? Yeah, they had to be getting tired running down the field time after time. Thankfully, the Packers do have some pretty good coverage specialists, and guys like Jarrett Bush, Sean Richardson, Jayrone Elliott, which, by the way, brings us to
the day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers on Friday, kind of waiting for the final injury report of the week, which will be released at about 11:30 a.m. Central Time on Friday, waiting to see the status of not only Jayrone Elliott, but also Packers tight end Brandon Bostic. Neither of those guys have practiced yet this week. Bostic with a hip injury, Elliott with a hamstring injury, and so their status right now is kind of in question for this upcoming Eagles game. And, you know, thank goodness it's not a situation where it was a year ago where we're talking about Aaron Rodgers missing the game. But still, you know, these are guys who are on the 46-man active roster week after week and are, you know, contributors and guys who are contributing more all the time. You look at Bostic, had his first touchdown reception of the season last week. Look at Jayrone Elliott after being inactive earlier in the year. Now he's out there every game as one of the key Packers special teams players and actually saw a few snaps on defense last week. So these guys are playing bigger roles all the time, and we'll see if they'll be healthy enough to play in the game. We saw yesterday, Thursday, that TJ Lang and Josh Sitton were able to practice on a limited basis. You know, those guys are both dealing with their, you know, recurring injury, not recurring, but ongoing injuries from which they haven't fully healed. Josh Sitton with the toe, TJ Lang with the ankle, both have torn ligaments apparently. But I would expect those guys are going to be fine to play. They gutted out last week against the Bears. It'll be interesting to see if they're, how they do, you know, when they're forced to play an entire game, if that's the case on Sunday, which I expect it will be. Not every game is going to be a 55-14 blowout. You know, if they got to be out there for 70 plays or so, you know, how are those guys going to feel? It'll be interesting. I would expect them to play, though, and they're only going to get better here, I would think. I mean, they didn't seem to suffer any setbacks during the Bears game. And, you know, it could very well be a situation where, you know, TJ Lang and Josh Sitton are getting some time off from practice for several weeks, if not even the rest of the season. I mean, when these guys are dealing with torn ligaments, you can understand how they would be, wanting to get some rest and not have to be out there all the time, especially being veterans. You know, these guys know what's going on. If we're talking about a rookie out there, Corey Linsley, it might be a different story. But these guys have been through this year after year and have Super Bowl rings on their fingers. I'm okay with TJ Lang and Josh Sitton playing, even though they may not practice at all or fully in the lead up to games this week. But good news, I predict Packers victory 31-28, and we'll see what happens on Sunday. But that'll do it for today's show. You know, I so frequently end with a call to action, and I did want to mention this just briefly here for those of you who are read our articles on the blog at Cheesehead TV. You know, something I want to remind people who read the blog, there's that thumbs up, thumbs down in the comments. By all means, use that. If there's a comment you like out there, give it a thumbs up. But more so than that, the thumbs down comment. It, you know, if there's a 5-to-1 ratio, the comments end up disappearing or not appearing if you turn on fan-friendly comments. So if there's trolls out there on the blog, or, you know, people who are spamming, anything like that, give it a thumbs down so people don't have to read that stuff. That's my call to action this week, something that I don't think gets utilized perhaps enough. You know, as they say, don't feed the trolls. Just give it a thumbs down so other people don't have to read that stuff, and it makes it a better experience for everybody when reading the blog at Cheesehead TV. So by all means, just utilize that. And you know, I'm not just talking negative comments. By all means, give people a thumbs up too. Anyway, thank you everybody so much, folks, for joining us here on the show at Cheesehead TV's Real Bird Central. Thank you to Brady Papinga for joining us, the Super Bowl champion from XLV, former Packers linebacker, joining Railbird Central on a Friday morning. That's great to get his perspective and him picking a Packers win as well. But enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the game, folks. And we'll see you back here Monday morning. I leave you today on behalf of Jamie Snow and Alex Talich and everybody at Cheesehead TV with a song called Texas Town by Honky Tonk Homeslice on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.